Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the Gospel of John today. So if you turn to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, and we will be reading chapters 1 and 2. I will take some devotional pauses, some thoughts at the end for application, and then close in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for these Gospels and here in the Gospel of John, Father, to be able to consider his life and his death and his resurrection. And I pray that as we begin this morning, that you will be teaching me how to apply this to my life so that I can walk closer with you. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Stop right there for a moment. So this is a verse that really begins the gospel with who Jesus is, especially connected to verse 14, which we will get to in a moment. But where it reveals the Word as Jesus. And only those who are willing to mess around with God's word can make it say something other than the fact that Jesus is God. Verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So here you have the Creator, Jesus, but not recognized as the Creator when he first came. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him, the Jewish people. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now that's a promise for all of us. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. So you're talking about being born of God. A child of God does not come automatically, only if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, here's the connection with verse 1. The Word that was with God and was God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. So you have eyewitnesses to who Jesus was. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So you've God the Father, you've God the Son, and through God the Son, we see God. Verse 19, now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him then, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Okay, now, so this is John the Baptist, who's been preaching and baptizing. Verse 23, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now, the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know, He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Verse 20, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So you have this transition here now. This is the one I've been talking about. This perfect, spotless Lamb of God who's going to take away our sins through death. Verse 30, this is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. They've been waiting for God's chosen one. They've been waiting for the Messiah years and years and hundreds of years. This is the one. Verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana, Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Can you imagine these guys, you know, this idea of this guy Jesus telling them what to do, but something they would never have seen or heard before? What in the world? They did so. Verse 9, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So that's the first sign, or that is the first miracle. And he's revealing through his miracles who he is. And yet, as he said to his mother, there's also the issue of timing. Because he's going to have a few years here where he's going to do many miracles, but only for his purpose to reveal himself who he is as God the Son. But short of drawing the attention that is going to send him to the cross too early. Verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Wouldn't you love to have seen this? Verse 16, to those who sold doves, he said, go, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. So, this happens more than once, where Jesus clears out the temple courts. The system of sacrifices and so on and things that have happened in their worship system all led to them just trying to make money, really. The priests, the religious leaders were making money off of people's worship, and it was just about that now rather than providing what people needed for their sacrifices. And Jesus didn't want anything to do with it. He also makes the statement that no one is going to understand until later about tearing down the temple, speaking of his body, but using that vision as an illustration and pointing ahead actually to his resurrection. So what did we take from John chapters 1 and 2 that we can apply? Well, I guess for me, it really goes back to the beginning, the truth that Jesus is God. God in the flesh. God the Son. Fully man, fully God. Because of that, and the fact that he will then rise from the dead, sets him apart from any other religious leader of all history. Sets him apart, as John the Baptist said, as the one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The only one who could do that. That reminds me of my confidence. My praise goes to him. My desire to follow him because not only of who he was 2,000 years ago, but who he is. And that makes a difference. What do you take from these chapters today? How will they draw you closer to God? Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for sending your son, and thank you that he is who he said he is, and that he came for a purpose, and that everything he did pointed to revealing who he was in relation to you, so that we could have eternal life. Help that to give me confidence as I live today. Help me to give that strength as I struggle through this sin-broken world. And Father, help it to give me hope and the hope I can give others through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.